Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Me'ilah Daf Yud Gimel. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our home page. If you are already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the reformatted introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the Daf before the Shiur, and even better, order your personal volume of this Maseches. Our address is gmarkings@gmail.com. We begin with the Mishnah that is found at the very bottom line on Daf Yud Beis Amid Beis, three words that begin the Mishnah, Kol Haroi L'Mizbeach V'lo L'Bedek Habayis. We're now at the top of Daf Yud Gimel Amid Aleph. The Mishnah gives us a list of categories, and we will see how the rules of Mi'ilah apply. So the first category is something that's fit for the altar, but not fit to be offered to the temple repair fund. Lebedek habayis v'lo l'mizbeach, something fit for the temple repair fund and not for the altar. Lo l'mizbeach v'lo lebedek habayis, something that's not designed to be offered on the altar nor to be used as building material in the temple repair itself. All three categories, moyalin ba, there is mi'ilah. Ketzad. The Mishnah now gives us a number of examples, and Rashi helps to clarify what category each example is relevant to. So, Ketzad. Hikdish bor molemayim, if a person sanctified a pit full of water. Ashbois moleus zevel. Ashbos are areas that contain fertilized material from the waste of animals and other waste products that are suitable for fertilizer. So someone dedicated the ashpa filled with the zevel. The ashpa, once again, is the place that holds that in which the zevel is accumulated. Zevel being the fertilizer. Shoivach mole yonim, a bird coop full of birds. Yonim are a type of bird that are suitable to be offered on the mizbeach. Ilon mole peros, a tree full of fruits. Sade molei asovim, a field full of grass. Moilin bohen uvama shebasocha, mi'ila would be violated if one benefits from the area and that which they contain. Rashi himself, as we mentioned before, points out how each one of these examples is relevant to a different category. So the bor full of water is fit for the bedek habayis. The water there can be used for making cement for the temple construction and repair. V'lo l'mizbech, it's not something fit for the altar. Ash b'mleo zevel, the fertilizer storage area, is something that's not fit for the altar. Obviously, there's no connection between fertilizer and the altar itself, and nor for the temple repair fund. One doesn't use fertilizer in the building of the Beis HaMikdash. However, its value, of course, that's a different story. The Shovach Mleo Yoinim is something that is fit for the Mizbeach, that the birds in the bird coop are a type of bird that can be offered. The tree full of fruits is something that has a relevance to the Mizbeach, but not for the Bedek HaBayis. The fruits in this case would be a reference to the vines of grapes for the purpose of wine. And the Sodom Alei Kletzim is something that's not fit for the Mizbeach, nor for the Bedek HaBayis. The Mishnah continues, Avol im hikdish bor v'achar kach nismal emayim. This section of the Mishnah deals with the same examples we had above. However, he, in this case, is dedicating the container, before it's filled with its respective content. So, if a person was makdish a pit, v'achar kach nismal emayim, and later, after he had sanctified the pit, water filled in. Ashpa, v'achar kach nismal zevel. He dedicated the fertilizer container area, and only later on it got filled with fertilizer. Shavach v'achakach nismale yoinim. He dedicated a bird coop, and only later birds populated it. Ilon v'achakach nismale peros. Dedicated a vine, and later grapes grew. Sadeh v'achakach nismale asavim. He dedicated a field, and only later on did grass or the grasses grow in it. Moyelin bohen v'ein moyelin b'mashe besocha. The mi'ilah violation is only relevant to that which he dedicated, not to that which came or appeared later on. Rabbi Yossi oimer hamakdish es hasadeh v'ho ilon. Rabbi Yossi disagrees on examples 4 and 5. The person who dedicated a field or a vine, moyelin bohen uvegidula, one will be in violation of that which grows later, mipnei shein gidule hektish, because they are said to be things that grew from that which had been sanctified. The Rashi points out in his commentary, reading in the middle of the Rashi, Rabbi Yossi Omer, in the middle of that Rashi, Rabbi Yossi Sovar, Hamakdish Sodo Ilon, one who dedicates a field or a tree, Moyelin Begidulehem, the growth of those things will result in a me'ila violation if one benefits from them. Hoyel v'godlu mamish behegdish, since they grew literally from that which was sanctified. Avol bor v'ashba v'shovach, the case of the pit and the water, the fertilizer area and the coop, the lav gidule hegdish. And lo polig Rav Yossi, the water doesn't grow from the bor, the fertilizer doesn't develop from the ashba, and the birds don't develop from the coop. So regarding those, Rav Yossi does not disagree. Continuing in the Mishnah, we have a slash mark. This is a new section. Vlad hamuseres, lo yinok min hamuseres. The case of vlad hamuseres is an offspring born from an animal before it was declared a Meiser Behema. The Meiser Behema is a tenth of one's animal births of a given year. The animals that are born on a given year are counted one by one, and every tenth animal after the counting is declared a Meiser Behema. So we have an animal here, the Vlad here is an animal born before its mother was dedicated as a Meiser Behema. So the Vlad essentially is chulin, is a common, a mundane animal. And therefore, the Mishnah says, Vlad hamuseres lo inok min hamuseres. It shall not nurse from its mother that now has been dedicated. One is not to benefit from, derive personal benefit from that which has been sanctified. The achirim misnadvin kain. There are those, however, Rashi points out, it's a reference to people that make a tnai. They make a condition before the tithing takes place and says that I am sending this mother animal to be tithed on condition that if it comes out to be number 10, the milk that comes from it will not be included in the sanctification, and thereby enabling the Vlad, the offspring, to nurse from its now sanctified mother. Vlad hamukdoshim, lo inok min hamukdoshim. The offspring of an animal that was subsequently sanctified, the mother was subsequently sanctified, so it shall not nurse from its mother. V'achirim misnadvim kain. There are people that make a condition, like we saw before. They make a condition that they are conditionally sanctifying the mother animal on condition that its milk will be available for, in other words, the milk will remain chulin and available for its offspring. Ha-poyalim lo yochlu min grogros hektish. If you have workers that, in general, the Torah provides for a person who is working on in certain situations, certain agricultural workers, without getting into details, they are spelled out in Maseches Bava Metzia, but the Torah makes provision for workers to eat from that which they're working on. However, if that which they're working on happens to be something that had been sanctified, In this case, the figs were sanctified, so the workers are not entitled to eat from those figs. V'chein pora lo socha mikashinei hegdish. The Torah makes provision for an animal that's threshing. While it's doing its threshing activity, it is allowed to eat from the grains that it is threshing. The pasuk says, "Lo sachsom shor b'disha." One shall not muzzle up an animal, an ox, while it is threshing. However, if it is threshing karshine hekdish, these are grains that have been dedicated. There, the Torah prohibition does not apply, and therefore the animal is to be muzzled up and not to benefit from the sanctified grains. All of these last two points are borne out in Psukim, where the Torah provides for the workers and for the animals when you're dealing with non-sanctified material. Katani, here is a quote from that which we just learned in our Mishnah. Vlad hamu'useres lo yinak min hamu'useres. Notice that we have some markings, and under our Mivne heading, we have a diamond featured, and you can see in the margin we've written mu'useres and mukdeshes. These are the words that appear in diamonds. Chipus mekoros le'isir yinika b'mu'useres u'mukdeshes. The Gemara will be looking for sources that indicate the prohibition of the nursing from an animal that's now been declared Meiser Beimo or has been declared a sacrifice. Other words that are marked include the word Asya. You'll see a double underline, which is to help in seeing the structure of the Gemara. We often use in our marking system markings to show the balance or a certain type of structural flow, and it'll become obvious when we go through the Gemara. And the word Mibachor is also treated with a dashed underline. Also, a crown marking appears around Rav Achtavuye Bar Ami, as that he offers responses in our Gemara to a couple of questions. So now, our Gemara. The Mishnah had said that the Vlad HaMuseres lo yinak min HaMuseres. Minonimi, what is the source for that? That the offspring of the tithed, of the animal that was subsequently tithed, cannot nurse from its Meiser Behemo mother. Omar Rav Achtavuye Barami, Asya HaAvora HaAvora Mibachor. A word comparison using the word HaAvora, or this being the Shoresh of it, or the word Ya'avor appears in the Torah, Ya'avor V'Havarta, indicated by the word HaAvora, is learned from Bechor, Mibachor, a firstborn animal. Firstborn male animal, as many of you know, is an animal that as it's born, it has sanctity, has automatic sanctity, known as a bechor. Ma bechor ma'alin bo, just like a firstborn male animal is something that one is not allowed to benefit from, and if one does, he is in violation of mi'ilah. Af cholav hamuseres, so too, the Meiser Behemo, which is compared to Bechor through this word comparison, carries with it Moyalin Bo. There is a Mi'ilah violation associated with it as well. So as far as the Dinim of Mi'ilah are concerned, regarding the Meiser Behemo, it is learned from Bechor. Just like the Bechor, the entire creature one is not allowed to benefit from, so to the Meiser Behemo, one is not allowed to benefit from the entire creature, including the milk that it produces. Cholav Hamugdoshim, as far as the milk from the from sacrifices, Nami Asyo Imoi Imo Mibachor. There is a word comparison using the word Imo from the case of the Bechor. Hapolim Lo Yochlu, and the continuation of the Mishnah mentioned the animals as well. Pora Lo Socha Makashine Hegdish. My taima, why is it that the animal cannot eat from that which it is working on, that it is threshing? Omar Rav Achtavuye Be'ami, the Omar Kro, Rav Achtavuye quotes the Pasuk, Lo Yisachsom Shor B'disho. And here, the emphasis is placed on the possessive. The word B'disho means Disho Shel Cho, V'lo Disho Shel Hegdish. Threshing that is relevant to you, to the person, to the personal individual, to the private individual, that is what the Torah prohibits. However, the Torah does not prohibit muzzling, and in fact it will encourage muzzling, the animal working on sanctified grains. Hadosh kil ilin besode hegdish mo'al. one who threshes kal'ilin, it's a type of vegetation, a type of legume, that one threshes in a field that was sanctified, mo'al. So one is considered to be in violation of mi'ilah when threshing this vegetation in a sanctified field. The Gemara asks, the violation of mi'ilah is only relevant to something that's detached. How can there be mi'ilah for using the area, that the field that was sanctified? Omar Ravina, Shma Mina, we learn from here, from this din, that avka, the dirt or the dust that is present in a field, and the dust is the dirt is something detached, the loose avka, literally the dust, ma'ali la, is beneficial for the for this particular vegetation that's being threshed, so that one is benefiting from that which is detached. We now continue on Omid Beis with the Mishnah. Let us point out ahead of time that the Gemara that follows this Mishnah will not be relating to the beginning section of the Mishnah, but rather we'll be focusing more on from the middle onwards. That being said, as far as the details that are relevant to the beginning of the Mishnah, one would be recommended to look into the Gemara quoted in Bava Basra. You'll notice there's a quote, Bava Basra Chavav Amid Beis, where this is discussed at greater length. So in view of that, we will continue now with the Mishnah at the top. Shoroshei Ilon, the roots of trees. Shel Hedyot, where the tree has not been dedicated. Haboyin b'shel hekdish, that are entering a sanctified field. B'shel hekdish, a tree that's been sanctified. Shaboyin b'shel hedyot, that are entering an unsanctified field. Loinenin v'lo mo'alin. Once again, we must emphasize that there is a great deal of detail that serves as the depth of explanation relevant to this Mishnah, but we are going to continue without the detailed explanation because that can be found in Maseches Bava Basra. The Mishnah goes on with a new example, Ma'ayon, a spring of water, Shehu Yoytse Mitoch Sodeh Shel Hegdish, that passes through a sanctified field, Loinenin V'loy Moyalin. Yotza Chutz LaSodeh, the stream continues flowing outside of that sanctified field, Nenin Mimena, one is entitled to benefit from that water at that point. Hamayim Shebekad Shel Zohov. We're talking about water here that eventually will be used for the Mizbeach in the form of Nisuch Hamayim. This is a water offering that took place on the holiday of Sukkot. The water here, Shebekad, is a reference to the vessel used for drawing the water from the spring from which water was drawn for this purpose. It's known as the Shiloach spring. So the water in that drawing vessel, Hamayim Shebekad Shilzov, Loi Nenin Velo Moyalin. One is not to benefit from it, because after all, it's water that's designed to eventually be used on the Mizbeach. However, the vessel itself, this vessel, Rashi refers to it using the term chovis. Those terms are at times interchangeable, as the Gemara mentions in Bava Kamma. The vessel itself has not been sanctified, and therefore the water that's drawn in it doesn't gain sanctity, thereby no mi'ilah violation. However, noslan b'tzluchis mo'alin bohen. When the water is transferred from this kad or chavis to the tzluchis is the vessel that has been sanctified, that eventually is brought full of water to the top of the mizbeach, whereupon the water is poured through the tubes, the shisin, thereby performing the mitzvah nisuch hamayim. So once the water is poured into the tzluchis, that vessel which is sanctified, moyelin b'hen, there will be me'ilah for benefiting, for one who benefits personally from those, from the water. Arova, lo nenin v'lo moalin. Arova is a reference to a, loosely translated, a willow branch, but it's a it's part of the Beis HaMikdash ceremony on the holiday of Sukkot. The Arova was stood up, was a long branch stood on the side of the Mizbeach. So the Mishnah tells us that the Arova, one is not to benefit from before it's been placed alongside the Mizbeach. However, if one does benefit from it, he won't be in violation of Mi'ilah. Reb Elazar Reb Tzadok Omer, Noisnin Hoyu Mimeno Hazakenim Belula Vehen. There is a comment found in the Tosfos that you'll see on the first of the wide lines, the widest lines, underneath the Rashi commentary. The Tosfos says, Nenin Hoyu Mehem Zakenim Belula Vehem. The Zakenim would use these Arovas for their lulav. In the lulav of Sukkot, there were Arovas that were included. Kosover mitzvahs lav lehenes nitnu. The use of an item to fulfill a mitzvah doesn't constitute benefit. It's the fulfillment of a mitzvah, and it's not categorized as benefit. Therefore, their practice would not be in violation of what the Mishnah is saying, that the Arova lo nehenin, their using it as part of their lulav, would not be considered a violation of this isser of lo nehenin. Before going on in the Gemara, we take a look at our mivneh, our structural note in the outside margin, where a diamond is featured and also a reference is made to Roman numerals 1 and 2. Shnei Lishonos B'Reish Lakish. The Gemara will feature two versions of Reish Lakish's comment. Now, the Nosei reads as follows. The topic heading, Hanene Mehamayim Hamugdoshim Lenisu Hamayim B'Sukkos. One who benefits from waters that were sanctified for the Nisu Hamayim on Sukkos. Haim Yesh Shi'ur Lamayim. Is it relevant to talk about a specific quantity with regard to the water? Klomar, the ein mi'ilah, is it possible that there is no mi'ilah violation? Elim kein yesh but sluchis shloisha lugimayim, lo pochos velo yoser. The amount of water that was used in the nisuch hamayim was three lug, a liquid measure. Let us say that in this tzluchis there was an amount of water that wasn't exactly three lug. Would that fact make a difference regarding mi'ilah? The Gemara, Omar Reish Lakish, Ein Moyalin Bekulon, Avol Moyalin Besholosh Lugin. Rashi explains that there is no mi'ilah as far as Reish Lakish is concerned. There is no mi'ilah unless the amount of water in the sanctified vessel is three lug, not more, not less. The Gemara asks, "V'ha katoni seifa?" We should correct ourselves. We made a bit of an error here with regard to Reish Lakish. We over-explained, and therefore we have to go back and explain Reish Lakish, saying basically what we said. But Reish Lakish is making a general comment that there is going to be mi'ilah only if there is three lug. And the assumption being that we're talking about the water in the original drawing vessel. So if you assume for right now that we're dealing with the water from the original drawing vessel, then we're now going to raise a question. So according to Reish Lakish, at this point, this is Roman numeral number one, there will be mi'ilah, but only if there is three lug and water that's in the drawing vessel. The Gemara asks, "V'al katani seifa?" But the seifa of the Mishnah says, "Nosno litzluchis malin bohen." That meila doesn't become a discussion, doesn't become a factor until the water is transferred to the tzluchis. Michlal de reisha afilu b'shloishes lugin nami lo. Then in the reisha, which is dealing with the drawing vessel, there is not going to be meila, even if there is exactly three lug. When does Mi'ila become an issue? Only when it's transferred to the Tzluchis vessel. Therefore, Elo I Itmar Asefer, we therefore have to say that Reish Lakish's comment about Mi'ila being a factor only with three lug is a statement made on the continuation, the Sefer, the end part of the Mishnah. And here we have a little arrow to the immediate left-hand side of the page, you can see, of the Gemara text. You can align this with the arrow above, also on the left-hand side of the text, where this quote comes from, Mo'alin Bohen. The Mo'alin Bohen is a reference to the Nosno B'Tzluchis, when the water is transferred from the drawing vessel to the Tzluchis vessel, the vessel used to hold the water till he got to the top of the Mizbeach. There will be Mi'ila. Amar Reish Lakish, Eimolin Elo B'Shloisha Lugin. Here Reish Lakish points out that there is Mi'ila, but only if there is an exact three lug, not more, not less. He being of the opinion, Yesh Shi'ur Lamayim. There is a quantity that that is relevant to the water. We also have a little aleph, you may notice, above Reish Lakish, because he is the first of two opinions. A dissenting opinion, Rabbi Yochanan Omar, Ma'alin Bekulon. Rabbi Yochanan disagrees and says that no matter what the quantity is, when you're dealing with the water in the Tzluchis, there will be a Mi'ila violation. The Gemara raises a question. Now note that this is a long question. And this is indicated by the long question marking the kuf that you see encircled to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text with a descending vertical dashed line. So the Gemara asks, "Lameimro de kasover Reish Lakish yesh shiur lamayim?" Are we to understand that Reish Lakish is of the opinion that there is a specific quantity with regard to the water of the nisuch amayim of Sukkis, the hotnan? We have the following Tanaic source, and we must emphasize that the point of this question will only be understood when you get to toward the end of this long question. So, in the meantime, the question is raised that does it not say, Omer Rebbe Elazar, Hamanasech mei chag b'chag b'chutz chayav, that if one were to pour the Sukkis Mayim, the Sukkis Nisuch HaMayim outside the Beis HaMikdash, he would be guilty of Ma'aleh B'chutz. Many of you may be familiar with the prohibition of Shechitas Chutz, slaughtering of sacrifices outside the Beis HaMikdash. Well, in addition to the prohibition of sacrificing, of slaughtering animals outside, which is known as Shechutei Chutz, there's also an Isser of offering, making a sacrificial offering, the burning up of sacrifices. That's called Ma'aleh B'chutz. The pouring of the water outside the Beis HaMikdash would be a parallel violation. So Rebbe Elazar says that the pouring of the water outside the Beis HaMikdash is considered chayav. In other words, it's chayav, and the Omar Rabbi Yochanan Mishum Menachem Yudfa, and Rabbi Yochanan quotes the opinion of Menachem Yudfa, Rebbe Elazar b'shitas Rebbe Kiva Omar, Rebbe Elazar, who says that for Nisuch HaMayim, one is in violation of Ma'aleh B'chutz, Rebbe Elazar is based on Rebbe Akiva. Rebbe Elazar b'shitas Rebbe Kiva Omar, didorish niskehem, that darshans the word in the Torah niskehem, which is found in the context of Sukkis. The word niskehem is a plural, is a word indicating offerings, of liquid offerings. There's another gusa that says that he darshans not the word niskehem, but nisocheha. And from this it is learned, echod nisoch amayim ve'echod nisoch hayayin, that the Torah itself legislates the offering of water in addition to the offering of wine. The simple reading of the pasuk is that the nisachim referred to are the wine offerings of Sukkis that accompany the Sukkis, the holiday Sukkis sacrifices. But since the word appears in a plural, Rabbi Kiva says that there's an allusion in this word to nisuch hamayim as well, making nisuch hamayim a Torah-based obligation. Just like Niso Hayayin, the pouring of wine associated with sacrifices, is Torah based. So too, the offering of water on the holiday of Sukkot is Torah based. And as such, it would then be a Torah violation if one offers the water outside, does a pouring of the water outside the Beis HaMikdash. The Omar Reish Lakish, and Reish Lakish says to Rabbi Yochanan, well, if that's the case, then Ima Yayin Shalosh Lugin Af Mayim Shalosh Lugin. Just like the amount that constitutes Nesachim when it comes to wine is 3 lug, that is the liquid quantity for the wine offering. Are you going to say that the liquid measure of the water is also 3 lug? That only if you offer 3 lug, that the amount of water to be offered on Sukkot is the same measure. The basis for suggesting this is that the same word, the nesocheha word, which makes a reference to the wine, according to what you are telling us, is a reference to the water as well. And well, then it would follow, just like the wine is 3 lug, so too the water must be 3 lug. Now this is Reish Lakish addressing Rabbi Yochanan in a tone of wonderment. He's saying, let's read that again with the right intonation. E ma yayin shalosh lugin af mayim shalosh lugin. Mechlal de savar Reish Lakish. It must be that Reish Lakish himself holds ein shiur lamayim. Now we've dashed underlined this ein shiur lamayim and it's circled Reish Lakish because this is the emphasis. This is where the question comes to a head. We see from this that Reish Lakish himself must be of the opinion ein shiur lamayim, that the water for Sukkot, for the Sukkot Nisuch HaMayim, doesn't have a legislated amount. So why is it before that Reish Lakish is saying that only if you have 3 lug would there be milo, giving us the impression that yesh shi'ur l'mayim? The Gemara answers that Reish Lakish himself will tell you yesh shi'ur l'mayim. Reish Lakish here in this discussion is l'taymo de menachem yudfok omar. Reish Lakish is saying his point only within the context of the Tanaic opinion of Menachem Yudfa. Or we should just say that he is reacting to the authority that Rabbi Yochanan quoted. Rabbi Yochanan had quoted Menachem Yudfa as saying that Rabbi Elazar is following Rabbi Akiva. So in following In that particular discussion, so Reish Lakish reacted the way he reacted. But that doesn't reflect upon Reish Lakish's personal opinion that there is a Shi'ur Lamayim. There is a Shi'ur Lamayim. The Mishnah. Hakein Sheberosh Ho'ilon Shel Hegdish. Loi Nenin V'loi Moyalin. Kain is a nest. A bird's nest, and for most of this Gemara we're going to appreciate the cane as a reference to the twigs that form the bird's nest. So the a bird's nest that's found on a sanctified tree, lo nanin v'lo mo, one is not to benefit from it, but if one does, he will not be in violation of mi'ilah. Sheva Asherah, a nest found on a tree of idolatry. Asherah is an idol, a tree worshipped as an idol. Yatiz Bekona, one should throw up a stick and in order to knock down the nest, in order to get the nest. But he shouldn't climb the tree itself. Hamaktish Es HaChoresh Moelin Bekulo. One who sanctifies a forest, so one will be in violation of mi'ilah, whether he benefits from the trees, the branches, or the leaves. As far as the explanation of this Mishnah, primarily the issue concerning the nest, that will be the subject of the Gemara on Daf Yud Dalet. So with that, we conclude our shiur for today.